Good morning, everyone. This is today's Dharma Espresso on Hand Untying, Part 3. I'd like to tell you a happy story about Mr. Clarence Purvis. He's now 93 years old and living in Glenville, Georgia. He met Carolyn Todd in 1948 and fell in love with her. They got married the following year and lived together for 63 years until her death in 2013. Since her passing, his behavior has been very interesting and unusual. He doesn't grieve or suffer from losing her. After burying her, he goes to visit her grave daily. Documents show that he even kisses her photo on the tomb. He always brings her photo to his favorite restaurant. At home, he lights a candle and places her photo by his bedside. People wonder if Clarence suffers too much or is too attached to Carolyn, but he's very happy and shares memories of his wife with everyone. He said, "What I wanted for her, she wanted for me. She liked what I liked. She and I are one, not two." The most important point here is that he changed his view. He saw him and his wife as one, not two. This paradigm shift makes him very healthy. 5 years after his wife's death in 2013, he's still healthy, goes daily to his favorite restaurant, and shares his story with everyone. He said, "I visit my wife's grave every month, sometimes 125 times a month, every morning, noon, and afternoon, 3, 4, 5 times a day." That paradigm shift is very important, freeing him from the pain of separation. His wife is gone. He can't do anything about it. He's already 93 and can't marry someone else or kill himself. He's just happy to share beautiful memories of his wife with everyone and to visit her grave every day. Now, I'll tell you another story that has made me think a lot. When I was in Hawaii, I knew a man named Peter and his wife, Wendy. They had a dog for an unknown number of years. When the dog died, Wendy was very sad. She would talk about the dog just like a mother talking about her child. After burying the dog in the backyard, she'd go there to talk to him every day. Peter was afraid she had gone crazy, since she talked about all kinds of things as if she was comforting her dog. After a few months, one day, he didn't see her going out to the backyard. He didn't see her there for days after that. Surprised, he asked her, "Are you all right? I don't see you talking to the dog anymore." Interestingly, she said, "I talked to the dog a few days ago. Suddenly I saw myself becoming the dog, and from his standpoint, there is no suffering. It's a great blessing to meet God, so why suffer? Therefore, I think that oftentimes, when I suffered and I felt sad, it was just me, myself, not the dog. He has been liberated." Peter told me, "When I heard those words, I was startled because I saw clearly that her face looked brighter, she looked healthier and gentler. Her relationship with the dog as well as her daily activities became normal and joyful." Hence, a very special way to cope with separation is to become the object of that separation. The paradigm shift in the story of Clarence and Wendy got me thinking deeply and led me to a special realization. Last year, a disciple of mine, Ngoc An, passed away. I was by her side on her last day. She was in a coma then. I had visited her a few times before that and talked to her. I could feel that her feelings a few months before were very different from when she was about to depart. When she was leaving, it seemed she let them all go and drop all her attachments. When the breathing tube was disconnected, she passed away in a very short time. During that time, I sat watching her and reciting mantras. Then suddenly, I discovered that it was as if I was praying to Kuan Yin Bodhisattva from her position. I could feel a sense of inner gentleness, clearly not the heaviness and suffering, but the lightness of a person without any burden and ready to leave peacefully. This really surprised me. I felt very gentle the moment she exhaled. Going back a few weeks or a few months, it was interesting that I could feel her worries, fears, gradual acceptance, and her wish to die because she was in too much pain. However, I could not feel her pain. but only knew that she wanted to go. However, in her final hour, the pain was gone, and only the consciousness of letting go remained. My thinking was clearly affected by the feelings of the person lying there, ready to leave this world. Therefore, I've been thinking that if we become the object of our love, the object that we know will soon depart, and think from that position, we will become those feelings. You may say, "But Master, if I stand from that position, I might feel sad, angry, afraid, and worried." Not necessarily, my friends, because when we become those objects, the important thing is not what they think or feel, but that we become those feelings. If they suffer, we will feel and become that suffering. If they're at peace and letting go, we become that peace and letting go. It means the light and the dark are one. When we and that person are not separated, we naturally feel bonded with each other and become non-dualistic. Regarding those who insult us, when we become those people and look from their positions, we will see that our views are different from theirs. In life, sometimes we cannot become the person we hate, but if we can look from their viewpoint, we can often change to become a new person. Thus, if we want to be liberated, it is 100% certain that we have to change our views. Like in the case of Clarence, who lives with the attitude full of love. In the case of Wendy, she changed her view to become the object of her love. As for me, I became Sister Ngakan in her last minutes, switching my view to see from her position, to see myself letting go, because everything else was minor, and the main thing was leaving that very moment. In other words, you can gradually understand the pain of separation. From the outside looking in, we're afraid of death and suffering. We feel sorry for this side and that side, but when we become that emotion, the emotion of the other person, we will become the other person, and our emotion about fear will disappear. We have become that fear. We have become that object. Can you grasp the essence of what I said? Why does the Avatamsaka Sutra often mention non-duality? It's because our life is too dualistic. We always see ourselves and others. We are always full of fears and suffering, and we are afraid that we cannot face or become that other person in the dualistic meaning. I've talked rather long, for more than 10 minutes. Well, I always hope that you'll look at things and change your views to get out of the dualistic world of right and wrong, always trying to prove this and that. Why not become the opposite side and become suffering? Only when you become the suffering can suffering come to an end. Thank you for listening. I wish you a day of joy and awakening.